Here, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we approach that throne of grace and mercy with thankful heart and joy, Lord, making melody unto Thee with great gratitude, sincerity, and great humility, Lord, because of Your wonderful presence that You've given us in this hour, knowing that You indeed are here in a way that You have not been here for these 2,000 years and perhaps even four, because it's Exodus time, and that means You'll lead us in by the pillar of fire, which we're grateful for. Having given us this word, even as You gave the people previous to their entering in, and also the vindication of it, and told them to eat. And Lord, we know the next eating is going to be with You at the wedding supper, and then the great eating we're waiting for is to come down here to earth and take over, because that is our destiny, and we praise You for that. We ask You now to be with us and study Your word. May it do our hearts good, opening the eyes of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, the message today is, because of the day, Mother's Day, is two mothers. And we're going to read in Galatians 4, 22-31, where it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. And this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. It's really actually our mother. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry. Thou that travailest not, for the destined hath many more children than she which hath an husband. And now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted them, him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 20-23, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. And the main thought here, for and since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at His presence. Now this, of course, as we know, is Mother's Day. And so the subject is naturally, or maybe unnaturally, about mothers. And so you'll notice that in Galatians 4, that there are two women mentioned who are both mothers. And these women are, of course, Sarah and Hagar. But I also read of two men in 1 Corinthians 15, and they are Jesus and Adam. And in the case of the two men, we are dealing with headships of two groups of people. And the two women here are an allegory, stated in allegory, and they have to do with these two headships, actually. Now, you notice concerning the two men, we read that Adam brought forth death, imprisonment, and slavery to men, and Jesus brought forth life and freedom. He abolished death and all the imprisonments of the souls of men. Now, you'll notice there that Adam brought imprisonment, he brought death. You notice that Christ brought freedom, he brought life. Now, you'll notice also that in the women here, they're mentioned concerning that very thing. For number one, the free woman is Sarah, or Sarah is called a free woman. And number two, Hagar is called a bondwoman. She did not have freedom. And you also saw that they are called cities. And the reason they're called cities is because of the number of progeny. There's numerous children on both sides, so there's far more on the side of the bottom. Now, listen carefully. Number one. Point number one, Abraham sired both of these children, so he's equally the physical father of both, or he's responsible for them. In other words, they're only there because he was there. Number two, but though Abraham is the father, and it would only be logical that he maintain his preeminence and headship, the subject matter shifts to his seed, and his sons from two different women now begin to form two separate bodies who have claims on Abraham. Now, what I want you to notice here is that the Scripture has dealt with Abraham, actually. It does not deal very much with Sarah or with Hagar. Then from Abraham, you find him the dealing with sons. Now, logically, as we're talking about Abraham, the subject matter should continue dealing with Abraham, but it swings suddenly over to the two sons who form two separate bodies of people, both bodies having claims on Abraham, and both laying claim not only to paternity, but to the inheritance. Now, let's go to Genesis 21:9-13 so we can see that. Now, Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which had been born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Now you notice that God had respect for this boy, but the great respect was for Isaac. And as we find in Scripture, it said, take now thy son, thine only son. There is a complete severance between the two groups, even though both would have a paternity claim and both would have an inheritance claim. But you notice there comes a time when even the paternity is dropped. And the inheritance was already out of sight for that number one boy that was born the first. Now, point number three. Those two bodies of people which descend from each son are not even at this point associated with the father by name, but with the mother. Now, that's what we're dealing with back here, although we still admit the fact that Abraham is brought into the picture. He has to be, because they can't be without a father. Women don't bear by themselves. At least they can never bear a male by themselves, because they don't have the X and Y chromosome, the male chromosome. It's only the father that has that. Now, these bodies then that are descending from each son are disassociated at a point for a figure from the father and transferred to the mother. Now, they are identified as cities. Which cities are identified as women? Now, the man is not identified as a city. It's the women. Now, number four. As both descended from one father, but two mothers. Now, they descended one father, but had one mother apiece. And because each identifies itself as legitimate sons, that's to say both have the same father, if there is a difference, it has to be concerning who or what the mothers were. See? Now, that what I just said there is right. Because Abraham was to have the son by Sarah. That makes it fully legitimate. They were really one. He has a son by the bondwoman. And you know what the law says, if one is born in a captivity, the children then go into captivity. That's the law of the slave, see? Now, that point that I made here, the difference has to be in the women. It leads us to point number five, And that point number five is, don't forget this is only an allegory. What we're dealing with. Now, an allegory is an extended parable. I don't know what that is. Sounds good to tell it though. Really, it is telling by a word picture, and it goes really way out into space to do it. But it's doing it. And this word picture is about two groups of people called cities by the same name. Right? Following? And everything you got so far is right here in the word. Point number six. These two cities, which are really two groups of people, will receive judgment from God as to their disposition because they are under separate covenants. Now, let's go and take a look at it. They spring from two sets of covenants. Now, so that lets you know it doesn't too much matter who you think you are and where you came from and everything else, but it depends on whether you're under a covenant or not. Okay, 22 to 26, it says, it is written that Abraham had two sons, and one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Now, come on. They were both born from sexual intercourse. That sure shows you that you sure got to watch who you marry, what you marry, and what you do. Which things are an allegory? Now, there you are. Now, what about? For these are two covenants. One from Mount Sinai with genders to bondage, which is Hagar. And this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is our mother. Now, you've got the allegory here. And the allegory is in reference to two covenants. And you're seeing two cities which two covenants produced. Or two words which were given. One which puts in servitude, and one which puts into freedom. Right? Okay. Let's find out about that. All we got to do is to read Galatians chapter 3. All foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. This is only what I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? In other words, one did you work for, and one did, or did it come by a promise? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? O stupid Laodiceans, do you think you can come up to this? Stupid Pentecostals. Foolish legalists. If you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain, ye therefore that minister the Spirit and work of miracles among you, doeth it he by the works of the law or the hearing of faith. Now he's ministering the Spirit here, according to a promise. Every church age messenger did, even as Abraham believed God was counted him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Okay, Ishmael of faith? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "And these shall all nations of the earth, these shall all nations be blessed." Now that's the gospel. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Because he believed that. For as many as are under the works of the law, are under the curse. That's Hagar, Ishmael. Hagar's Ishmaelites, forming a city. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and those who do the law shall die. Of the just live by faith, the rest die. Oh, come on. Can't have both ways. People slop over. They say, well, don't you do it with me. Get down to 90 degrees. One lives, one dies.
And man, he's got a pussy foot. What was that cartoon years ago they had? The little the line that pussy put it off? A pussy foot. That's the Wizard of Oz. You know the Timon line? The cowardly line? Come on. The footsteps of Abraham were heard and felt. I guess the law still opened it. But the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them, whoever did it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, was written, cursed everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now that faith has already been set in order through Abraham. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, if it's a man's covenant, you don't dare mess with it. What about God's? Now, to Abraham, the seed where the promise is made. He said, not unto seeds as many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, we're getting down to what the real seed is from this allegory. Now, even the boys are thrown in an allegory here. Type is not as bad as allegory, but it's a little bit too far-fetched, it becomes an allegory. And this I say, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was given 430 years afterward, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. In other words, there's never any word of God that God ever gives that ever disannuls another word. Right? For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. And that's impossible. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, so the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of mediator. Now, mediator is not of one, but God is one. God became his own mediator by taking on the form of flesh. We'll go into that someday. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterward be revealed. Now how fantastic that was, because Jesus died upon Calvary, pulled all those out of the graves. They were under the promise. Even the law was there. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us under Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now you come under Sarah through an allegory. See, by a far-out illustration. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, but you're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then you be Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Now, that's what we're talking about. The seed becomes a city. And the city is named after a woman. And a woman's an allegory. So we look at the allegories, look at the pictures, and we begin to arrive at some things. All right? You'll notice here that this is law versus grace and faith versus works. Now, this brings us to point number 7. Now notice Galatians 4:25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage to her children. Now this is the city that man built. Yeah. This is the city that man built. Because this is the works. This do and thou shalt live. Now what did he say was? Jerusalem which now is, right? You want to know what Jerusalem which now is? Was like in the days of Jesus and before 90 AD, before it got wiped out. You really want to know what it's like? You do. Well, I'm glad you do, because I'm going to show you anyway. Glad you like piano playing, because I brought my piano. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 23, and let us see the tragedy of a self-built city. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Yeah. Okay, that's judgment. All got to pass before these birds now.
Therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works. For they say and do not. They're a bunch of liars. For they bind heavy burden and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move one finger. It wouldn't do any good anyway. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost room of the feast, and chief seats in the synagogues.
And greetings in the marketplace to be called rabbi, rabbi, and as doctor, 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 PhD, LLD. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and you're all brethren. Call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, nor suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widow houses, for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore shall you receive the greater damnation. You want to build a great Bible college and big schools and help the sick in 37-story hospitals and train people. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! Now hold it, these same guys say, now just a minute, we do certain things. We are nice, we are this, we are that. We got a great works program. One, you scribe Pharisees, hypocrites, you come to sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him a twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. One, you blind guides that say, whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, whosoever shall swear by the gold in the temple, he is a debtor. Right back to Rome. Ye fools and blind, whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold. Whosoever shall swear by the altar is nothing, whosoever swear by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, whether is greater, the gift of the altar sanctify the gift. Notice, fools and blind, whosoever shall swear by the altar, swear a bit, and by all the things thereon. Whosoever shall swear by the temple, swear a bit, and by him that dwelleth in it. And he that shall swear by heaven, swear by the throne of God, him that sits thereon. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and mint and anise and cometh, admit of the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith, these ought ye have done and not leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, restrain a gnat and swallow a camel. Yeah, to tell young girls because they thought they're engaged to a boy, they got to marry him or remain single, and yet don't even know their presence is here. One, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, within are full of extortion and excesses. Put on the weight of a good show, but you're a garbage dump inside. Where did God get revelation out of a garbage tin? Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of it may be clean also. One, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you are the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones, uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. One, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets, and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we'd been the days of our fathers, would have been partakers with them in the blood. Not been partakers with them of the blood of the prophets, wherefore ye be witness to yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. And notice that Roman Catholic Church said, if Pope John 23rd had been Pope instead of Leo, the church never would split. Admitting that they killed the Protestants, destroyed any hope of reality. They've already said it. People stand back and say, well, the Roman Catholic Church is okay, and this church is okay. Like, so much they're okay. This is what they are right here. Be witnesses unto yourselves that you're the children of them which killed the prophets. Has the Roman Catholic Church left its doctrine? Not by a jugful. Has it come to Christ? No way. They might as well be back under Leo and Tetzel. Because they got another Leo and Tetzel combined right now in this fella. Yeah, people thought, well, it'd be a little different since we've got a pole in there. It's worse. All this is big greater, we got American. Antichrist completely. Give it back to the Italians. No. No. Well, they look like changes, but ain't no change at all. Can the leopard change his spot? He's open his skin, neither can you. Who would do good? You got to get a change in that. Fill up the measure of fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell?
Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you'll kill and crucify, some you'll scourge in your synagogues. First consider the city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and altar. I say unto you, all these things that come upon this generation. Now listen, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Who is this? These birds? Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem right there. That's under the law. That's under the covenant. That's the son of Abraham by the flesh, Hagar. Born in servitude. Yeah, under a law. But you watch how they wiggle out of it. And the same scurvy bunch will try to wiggle out of grace. Because they're legalists. I said scurvy, and I mean it. I can take that back. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. 90 A.D., she was swept off the map. Christ, and you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you'll come to the place when you're back in the homeland one day when you'll throw your hands up and say, what is the use? Somebody come in the name of God. Anybody come in the name of God. Even. But I hope not. The one they said was he. You don't think that day will come? People are prophesying great things for Israel. You better stick with the prophet of God vindicated 3.5 years. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Let's look at these, this church. Chapter 15, verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem. Oh, Mother Jerusalem. And a bunch of the children. Why did thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said, watch out, you people that want to be too clean. Now, here in the biscuit's a different thing. Why do you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? You can be too antiseptic, you know. Not half antiseptic enough. It's not what goes into your mouth, it's what comes out of your mouth. Watch that, Brother Vader, you're going to condemn yourself. Don't worry, I pray every day over this matter. Don't worry. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father, his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father. In other words, you just make your own law to get by. You have made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites. Same thing he said back there. 23. Why did Isaiah prophesy you, saying, this people draweth nigh with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do teach, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's that bunch, see? That's Jerusalem, which is identified in the extended allegory. And that's her children. That's Pentecost in this hour. They make up their own laws, their own dogmas, their own creeds, their own teachings to bypass the Word of God. And they say, well, now a woman shouldn't, well, it's all right. A woman cuts her hair, that's fine. She can wear slacks. Oh, come on. What has that got to do with holiness anyway? Sure, a woman can preach. Neither male nor female in Christ. Hallelujah. They don't give her it. And they're legalists. They don't know the first thing about grace. But they know plenty about disgrace. Because their hearts are black with the blackest sin of all ages. Not one good thing found in Laodicea. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind. And naked has to do with the shameless, which has to do with the sexual perversion, which has to do with idolatry. Idolatry. Jerusalem. Which is below. Now remember, Jerusalem went to Babylon. See, how do you know? Book of Revelation tells you the same thing. I'm requiring all the blood that was ever shed is in you. Spiritual Sodom and Egypt. right in our day. A church, a mother. A mother. Church is mother. She's full of sons. But look at Galatians 4 and 26. Not 4 and 25 now. That was over there with Hagar. But Jerusalem, Sarah, is above, which is above is free, which is our mother. Who's she? Well, let's go back to John 14. A few verses in there. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place, and if I go and prepare a place, you'll come again, receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither you goest. How can we know the way? In Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, he's placing himself right there like I showed you. Adam, one head. Christ, the other head. You've got man associated with works. You've got this one associated with grace. You've got one place where men are trying to get there. This is where one man will take you there. Okay. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 9, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and taught me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain and showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, which is above. Now coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like the stone most precious, even the stone of a jasper and crystal. Now, notice, also over in John 8, and 19 to 27, then he said, they said to him, where is thy Father? Jesus said, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then Jesus said again, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Now over in John 14, he says different, remember, to them. The Jews said, will he kill himself? That was the best hope they had for him. Get him. I hope he commits suicide before we have to kill him. Because he's crazy. He's just crazy enough to commit suicide, this fellow. See? Will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said, therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins. We believe not that I am. You shall die in your sins. And they said, who are you? Jesus, even the same I said unto you in the beginning. You know, that's the same answer right today. Who is Jesus? He's not the third God. He said, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man. He told him who he was. He was Christ Messiah. And they're still bungling it. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ. This one that you killed, God raised, and he made him both Lord and Christ. There was an incarnation. God with us. There'll be another incarnation. And he tells you, they say, hey, that can't be the one. Then what is it? They were messed up then, they're messed up now. They don't know who he is. I told you who I was. I have many things to say and judge of you. But if you can't get the record straight, after the revelation, there's nothing left for you. I have many things to say and judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. They didn't understand. Now, notice the comparison here. from above and from below.
Now, there's got to be those from above. There's got to be those from below.
See?
There's got to be those that have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there are those that, no way. There'll be those in the Book of Life that never have the Lamb's Book of Life, and there'll be those that don't even have their name in the Book of Life, and those that had their name taken out of the Book of Life.
See? You got an extended allegory. Okay, number 8. All right. Number 8 comes from 8 and 23. I am from above. You are from below. I am not of this world. You are of this world. That spells out the two Jerusalems. The two mothers by the name Jerusalem are two women, two cities full of children. And of course, the one of the earth is greater than the one from heaven. They both have light, because all life is of God. In Him we live and move and have our being. All things were made by Him. All things consist by Him. Brother Brad said, the honorous woman under God's high heaven, an absolute ornery prostitute. I remember back in the old days, they didn't have birth control pills. They didn't have much method of birth control at all. So whores would get pregnant and bring forth children. And the most ornery one in all of God's high heaven could say, I've gotten me a child from the Lord, because God laid down laws. So they both make their claims. But only Sarah, New Jerusalem, from above, is full of the life of the Son of God, whose seed is on many waters, and many waters make up one people. In other words, all nations, kindred tribes, from the entire universe of 6,000 years, there will be a bride. There will be a Jerusalem, which always was from above. So she has to get down here in the earth. New Jerusalem, our mother, is from above. Who is it? Ephesians 1. Let's look at her. From above. Coming down. Going up. Coming down. Well, didn't he come down? Didn't he go up? Didn't he come down? All right.
Okay. Third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him, in whom also you retain an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, first trusted in Him, in whom we also trusted after, hoped after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you received that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemptive purchase possession of the praise of glory. Now He said, you started up there and you're down here, you're going to get back, you're going to come fully with the full inheritance, you're going to be glorified. Now, that's where we came from. Okay. Back here then Revelation 21, which we read a couple of verses a while ago. Come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. In a great high mountain He carried me. He showed me holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God of mine, the Lamb of the temple, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring their glory and honor the nations. Now notice, it tells you out there, there's a bunch out there. There's a bunch out there that are not in New Jerusalem. But neither are they earthly Jerusalem. That's gone. That's shot. People think it's going to be a great glory again. You're entirely wrong. God hasn't got time for cities and things. It's a new culture entirely. Don't believe any bunch of junk people have told you. Get back to the Word. You're going to be back pruning the trees and the vines. You'll be dressers of the earth. They'll bring their glory into it. And this talks of 1,000 years down the road, though. I'm talking about the immediate thing. There shall no wise end anything that defileth or work of the abomination or makes a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, the New Jerusalem is full of Lamb life. It was Lamb life to begin with. Never was anything else but Lamb life. It was Lamb life redeemed back to God. A little modicum, a little tiny bit there, see? All right. Now, let's line it up to the point of Mother's Day. Okay, to Mother. Mother, the Word. She is a woman who bears children being a wife. She's supposed to be a wife. So, Mother is a wife, is a life giver. That's what Eve is. The word Eve means life giver. Now, the word woman is derived from the word ish, meaning an individual male person, and from anosh, meaning mortal man, which in turn comes from the meaning of a word that means frail. That's why woman is called the weaker vessel. But this is not primarily and basically physical, as some seem to think, because men have bigger muscles and can work harder in the realm of heavy lifting and some of those things, because a woman will outlive a man and outwork a man and literally put a man under the table. And she's been doing it for years, which is proven by the fact that women outlive men, and there isn't any way that they're not going to do it. Now, basically and primarily, it is not physical, as some think, but it's seen as in Genesis 2 and 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, man's going to leave father and mother. He's going to cleave unto his wife. Okay? And you've got to put this in conjunction with 1 Timothy. The second chapter, 11 to 14, let the women learn and silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Now back to Genesis, the second chapter, 15 and 17. And the Lord God took the man, not the woman. He took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge you won't eat of it. The day you do, you are going to surely die. That was said to the man. 18 to 20. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. In other words, I will make a helper that is in his image and is, you know, in his... The word meet. So that word meat there, you know, is it means that it'll be in his form, not like an animal, not like something else. It'll be like the human race. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam, see what he would call them, whatever Adam called them. Every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle, the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help that would line up and be of his stature and, you know, what have you. So you can see here that he's not talking about a physical thing, because the physical had been meant that she was going to be of the same substance he was, same type of flesh. He took the bone out and peeled the side, and everything that woman was literally came out of man in the physical as well as the spiritual. It was a step down. And the fact of the matter was, it wasn't a physical weakness. It was a spiritual vessel that was weaker spiritually. See, now that's where the word woman comes from man, and yet putting the frailty in there, that's why, see, women cannot preach. You see, now that's notice, this is why the two cities and churches are called women. You see, because look, a city outlasts the individuals in the city. The generation after, that's why they call Rome the Eternal City, built by Romulus and Remus. It's gone on for hundreds of years, but believe me, it is not eternal. Neither is the gunk within it eternal. But it's been going on. See? That's why it's called a woman. Alright. Now, listen. The word wife in the Hebrew is just another word for woman. But it becomes wife when you put it in the possessive, as when God said, Abraham, where is your woman? Woman is identified by the union to a man and makes her wife. Wife becomes mother. See? Okay. That's why I read over here. Maybe it was kind of obtuse at that time, and I hope it's not obtuse now, or abstract, when I read in the Corinthians for you, and it says here, but now is Christ raised from the dead and become the first fruit. Then said, for since by man came death, by man came resurrection. For as in Adam all die, even in Christ all are made alive. All right, as those over here in the world church are dead, those over here in the true church are alive. Both got the same name. Now both have life by the same creator. See? But only one has a creator life in it. Where the Logos of God, which means God pouring himself into manifestation, could step it down to a race. One was born by the will of the flesh, the other by the will of God, though the flesh entered in, because how can you have a man that's going to get redeemed outside he's got flesh? You can't redeem a spirit. It was only when Adam was placed into a body he fell. Couldn't fall before. There's no way. He wasn't made in the image of Satan where Satan could fall being an angel. Got a different thing entirely. Now, only one woman is identified with him, which is Christ. See? Hagar, Sarah, Jerusalem, Ishmael, Isaac. Go back to Abraham. Okay. How do you get identified? The identification is you come down here, we're all people. No two ways about it. Two great churches. One a world church, one the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One bride, one not bride. The identification comes to God how? Through the group in which is the life. It goes back to God. See, because we were in there as a group. He shall see his seed. And furthermore, in the word in the Hebrew concerning your seed shall bruise its head is plural. The bride is going to come down here with Christ incarnated, God incarnated. A living God in human flesh, a living bride in glorified flesh. He's going to come down with the Antichrist and the mob right in the eye. That's why I said, don't judge before the time and keep your hands off till God brings you down to take over. Your judgment is, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. In other words, I'm the one that's got the law in my hand and I'll do it in such a way everyone's going to be satisfied. Even we will be satisfied. You know, we fume right now, especially me. I'm called old fume ball. The ogre. All right. One woman is identified with him, which is the Christ. Then identified and joined and bearing the name, she is fit to bear or bring forth his seed. Now I'm talking about a harvest. Now, a harvest is like a poppy. What do you call it? That ball up there, poppy ball. Not chaff, but it's the container of the seeds. Now, the church under law, legalism, tradition, dogmas, creeds, whatever. I don't care what it is. Islamic, Christian, you name it. Will never make it. It can't bear the sons. There is no way. Only Lot within this group, like this city. You follow me? Just think of the poppy seed. Now don't think of the wheat, please, because the wheat makes you think of individuals. I don't want anybody here thinking of individuals. I'm talking about church, the way Brother Branham said in the Easter seal. Now he said, I'm talking about the church. In the future under advice, he mentioned the church. But nobody seems to catch things like that. They want to just do it right by, like the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's for each one of you. But God sealing us in at the end of time is when he stands here. That is not your personal baptism with the Holy Ghost. But unless you're personally baptized with the great baptizer himself, you're going to miss it. All right, I'm talking about this Jerusalem. I'm talking about this woman that has the many sons in her. Now, at the end time, this seed has got to come forth in a multiplied form just like Christ. Now, Brother Brand said, the church can't do it. Because the church is Hagar. The true wife, mother, Sarah, New Jerusalem, can't. Why? Because she is comprised of those sons, those children. That's what it says. Our mother is from above, and we are it. We are the mother load. Made up. See? All right. She is the only true seed carrier, for she alone has the word, being born again, not the corruptible spora, the other plants out here. That appeared on the earth, seed lying there, that took a form on it. We're seed that took a form on it. But an incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. She is born of God and she cannot sin. Did you hear? Look at it. Let me prove it to you. And there shall in no wise enter anything that defileth or worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are in the Lamb's book of life. Without her whoremongers and dogs and defilers and sorcerers and you name it. There's no sin in it. Because of the seed. It's a royal group. Glorious within and without. And now at this end time, the woman, the wife, the mother, the bride, New Jerusalem, is in process of becoming complete and full in human flesh and will bring down to earth the groom and reign and rule with him 1,000 years. Not the city part. Not the buildings. But honeymoon. See, they return after the honeymoon to the building. To what the real home is. The future home. There's 1,000 years down here. Back where Eden was wiped out by the woman. Now at the end time, we got this 1,000 year coming up. The bride coming back. And when the last elected member in and is trained, you better believe there is going to be a resurrection. Since the seals open in Revelation 22 and 10, you cannot change the prophecy. You cannot close it. It's at this time that the righteous remain righteous. The wicked remain wicked. Why? Because God calls those things which are not as though they were. And Abraham said, I am the father of multitudes. And God said, that's exactly right. The bride now says, I am righteous with his righteousness. I have got peace. I am away from fear and all these things. And God said, that is exactly right. Because in you down the road are going to reap it in a manifested form. You have it now. All right, it is all a true bride who is from above. There's nothing in her but that. She is about to mother the earth and creation in the millennium. As she inherits it, due to the price paid by the Savior. Thus we come to a conclusion that this is not only the day of the Lord, which I showed you was the rightful husband, the rightful father of the daughter, who is the bride, but it is therefore the day of our mother. And we are on the verge of a glorious Mother's Day. That some half-wit, and I won't take that back, she found out she was a half-wit. Yep. For spreading around the world a day which caught fire quicker than any other Memorial Day, Mother's Day. And when she saw how she had desecrated the day of the Lord and made Mother a commercial fountainhead, and in her lies the riches of the world, dear Mother in Rome. Should I read it for you? Oh, come on, you know. So Mother's Day has become a beautiful symbol in the 20th century. This is the real Mother's Day coming up. Yep. And the other Mother's Day types exactly what it is. It's a bunch of canned music. Canned dead horse meat. You can't eat horse, brother, sisters. Ain't got a cloven hoof. Ah, not a clean animal. Canned and dead. And a big price paid. But we are entering into Mother's Day. Yep. The day of the bride. The day of union with the husband. The day that presages that as we came down and now go up. Yep. We are coming back. And the beautiful thing is, I like all the trees. We are going up again while the earth is dissolved. And we're coming down again to stay down. A lot of trips. You've been wanting a trip, you guys, that can't afford it? I've had so many trips now that nothing appeals to me except this one. I've had a lot of trips, and I've such trips that are too numerous to mention, such as tripping over a mop and over a rake, tripping over a doctrine, tripping over my tongue. But the last trip, no more mistakes for Lee Vail. No, sir. All right. This is the real Mother's Day. It is time of the bride. Yes, sir. Reality. For the bride in reality is New Jerusalem, of which or whom we are members and adorned by the husband and father, even the husband father. Now, we got a few minutes left. I'll just quickly go over this. Some notes. Now one last thought. A couple pages of notes I'll just read. The actual meaning of mother in the Hebrew is bond of the family. Brother Branham said, my mother was the tie post. When she's gone, it'll all be gone. It is the mother who gives the adhesive qualities to the family. Thus she is truly the helper God gave to Adam and to all men. For it is through her and by her nurturing there is a family unit. By that I simply mean the children are born. And she helps to do those things with what the husband provides. And she keeps the adhesive quality there because she is there. And that's what the church should always be there. The bride, the people should always be there. Helping God to nourish and to care and to bring forth newborn ones. That's mother's job, see? When she was just a woman, just a wife or Adam's woman, she went astray. And brought all sin and havoc on earth. Then she became a mother by two seeds, and she set in motion two lines of people, that today are two churches, one earthbound, one hellbound, one born from above, New Jerusalem, to live eternally. It was a woman, Joseph's woman, Joseph's wife, that said, be unto me according to thy word. And she became the mother of Jesus, who is the Christ, the very Logos, was made manifested fresh through her. And she was a catalyst, a bond, that God could work through for his glory and the good of his son. There is no way that you can be in Christ and not be in our mother from above, the New Jerusalem, the true church, the bride. And it says clearly in Scripture, the man is not without the woman, and the woman was not without the man. What a wonderful Mother's Day. Yep. Beautiful Mother's Day. Entering in on it when New Jerusalem takes over. Yep. And she's our mother. Yep. Why? Because we're in her. See, come down here, sons of God in human flesh, comprising one glorious body. She's been responsible, the two groups, for everything going on. Out of her, in her, through her, working through her, God. One bringing forth sons unto condemnation under works program. Don't know what grace is. The other under a grace plan. See? You know, I wish we knew the meaning of grace as Brother Branham did. Read, go through the inner veil one more time. Go through there. I like reading those. There's little thoughts in there I pick up. Let me read some of the things that Brother Branham said. And see the beauty that lies therein. Some of these things are so beautiful. And in there, brother, sister, remember this one thing. We all had mothers. We all know what mother means. There's got to be some way to convey. There's got to be some way to move. And God has set in the church. See? And he gave this and he gave that in order to bring the sons in and to correct them and to bring them up into a place. That adhesive bond, as it were, is a true bride, a true church. That's why it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approach. And people in this message will stay home deliberately and see they're serving God. And pardon me, let me tell you, they've been deceived by the devil. Completely under the power of the enemy. I don't care what they say. Oh, I love this. I love that. I believe this. Look, don't talk to me because shut up. You're wasting your time, your breath, and you're getting on my nerves. Because you're wrong. You're telling a lie. You're standing there making God a liar. But you're making yourself somebody. That's what Satan did. Came right to the woman. But there's a woman today who doesn't make God a liar. There is a woman who makes him a liar. Why? She said, I'm not a widow. My husband's alive. Isn't that strange? Roman Catholic Church says that, and the people who believe this message say he's not even here. Say, you would have known I'm not a widow, but he ain't even here. Well, he is here, but you know he's not here the way you think. Who got her pregnant? Well, I'm supposed to be pregnant this hour, brother, sister. Pregnant by the ear. See? Okay, that's enough of Mother's Day. Good old Mother's Day, but I got to bring it back to the Bible. There is a mother in the Word. You just got to see what it's all about. And God has glorified all of us to the place where He just takes everything and throws a reflection upon it, which is wonderful and mighty. All right, let's rise at this time. Don't forget service. 7:30 Wednesday. Heavenly Father, we're glad that our mother is that which is from above, because we've already known for a long time that we were already from above. Seeds of Him must come forth in a manifestation. As women bring forth the manifestation, so the bride is a manifestation of many sons, a woman, bringing forth at the end time a beautiful, beautiful group of people. Everyone fair as clear, it's just terrible as the sun in us. Fair as the moon, glorious within and without, each and every son and daughter of God in that great, great holy Jerusalem, which Paul says is our mother. Oh yes, one common origin in heaven, born from above, going above, one day remaining above it all, coming to the place of complete glorification, to where nations bring their glory and showing just what kind of a bride it is, what kind of omen, what kind of identification. Lord, we've not even begun to do justice to the theme. And at this point, I don't feel too bad about it, because who am I to even try to bring out things, Lord, when it'd be good to have a prophet come and do these things and lay them out for us. Point by point until it becomes a very jot and a tittle, until it becomes one glorious, beautiful structure in revelation. We know, Lord, there's a bride that's going to be one beautiful structure, revelation revealing our God. Transparent gold and light shining right through that city. Transparent gold and people, light shining through the people. All one. Until the whole city, like those great cherubim, waving their wings and hiding their faces and door posts moving, everything vibrating, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. And that's the day, Lord, we're looking for. We're glad for the days in between. We're very thankful to know that we're going to be out of here pretty soon, come down on this earth. But now, Lord, we're getting a little bit excited about the other now, too, because you haven't
You haven't left us without the grand vista appearing before us of that holy city, for the prophet gave a special message on it not too long before he went away, knowing that, I suppose, Lord, maybe knowing that he preached to many, many people who'd never make the eternal city and be a part of it, but they would gather around and bring their glory in at a certain time, and he was letting them know, singing that song, God be with you till we meet again. There'd be some he'd meet in the resurrection, part two of number one. There'd be a whole lot more he'd meet in the second resurrection, foolish virgin, the rest coming up, when they'd all be together on a new earth, all classified and glorified. But, oh, Lord, what a tremendous thing that we can stand with Paul in grace this morning. We do not belong to Jerusalem, which is below. We belong to Jerusalem, which is above. That is our cementing together. Oh, God, we're going to that city. I wish we'd begin to act like it as never before. In fact, Lord, I'm thanking you that we're beginning to act like it. I refuse to take no for an answer. Like Abraham stand, we are, according to God, fathers and multitudes, and every day it got worse. That word, Lord, has got to live, and I claim it in this hour. So, Father, we rejoice in Thee. Through the Son, the great High Priest, the Lord of glory, and unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing We'll Walk in the Light, right, okay?
We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light, walk where the dewdrops of mercy arise, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
You know, it's the truth there that the Lamb is the light of the city. It doesn't need any. And the bride doesn't need any other light down here. And the Logos is here. There's nothing else to turn to. He's not saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, for you to recognize the day of your visitation. That's Babylon up there. But I tell you, we do recognize the day of our visitation. That's why we know who we are. Yes, sir, that's right. That's right. When the word is made manifest and then revealed to us, and you receive that proves you're part of that great eternal city. All right, let's just go singing, take the name of Jesus with you.